everybody. Welcome to the Canine Connection podcast. Today, Lori and I are going to talk about trial day routines and superstitions. All right, I'm cracking up because I'm just going to blurt the story out.
Go.
So I used to be like really insecure. So when I cycled, I had all these like superstitions, whatever. But anyways, my first big dog sport I did was field training. So I had to have like my lucky duck socks and like these like clothes, and it had to be, and I had my, and then I found underwear with ducks on them. So they were my lucky duck underwear, and I always had to wear my lucky duck underwear to the trial. Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, yeah, it was crazy. But, you know,
we get caught up in that. I used to be like, I would have, well, if anybody who knew me in the beginning, I like had a super crazy collar addiction. Like I was one of those, you know, the dog had 50 collars.
Have that. There's a cure. Is there a cure for that? Because
yeah, lack of money.
I need it.
And I would, like, if I would have the dog wear a certain collar, and if like we flunked enough in it, I was like, that collar's no good, and I'd get rid of it because it was like had bad juju on it. That was a big one for me, the collar.
Well, my friend Lee made me this beautiful collar. Don't ask her to make you one. She won't. It was just a hobby. But anyway, so I always wear it for Zayna and like put it on Zayna. At one point, I had to forget, I don't know in what context it came up, but she said something about that being Zayna's lucky collar. And I'm like, God damn it. Because ever since then, even though I really don't believe in that stuff anymore at all, it's like this little thing in the back of my head to this day. That mm-hmm. like I'm weird about putting another collar on her when I show her. Not that it's a hardship, because it is a gorgeous collar and I love it, but when I have another nice collar, I go to put it on and then like, and I'm like, yeah, I can't do it. Because it's in the back of my mind that she said that, but like, so it's her fault, but no.
Okay.
So why do people even do that? Right. Because it's just insecurity, right? It's nerves. It's insecurity. Yeah. It's like wanting things to make us feel better, wanting some like external magical force to help us mm-hmm. so that we can succeed. Right. Because showing is scary.
Yeah.
Because we never know. And it's stressful. Because we never know what's going to happen.
And I think that we're always constantly looking for any advantage, right? Anything mm-hmm. that's going to sort of give us that edge or leeway to being able to succeed, right? So we fall prey to those little things. I don't do this anymore, but I used to have to have my nails painted. I'd have to have my nails done. And I would do it myself. Like I wouldn't even go to the salon. And I would have to, no matter what, the night before trial, I would have to paint my nails. And then, like, when I started going to, like, you know, 3-4 day, you know, I'd have to go away where I'd be gone for the weekend. I would be carting all my nail supplies in the hotel at 10 o'clock at night, doing my nails, which always fucking looked like a 4-year-old did them. But I had to do them because I felt like if I don't do my nails, I'm gonna flunk. It's like stupid. I don't know why we do that.
Well, we do it because it's oddly comforting, but it really, there's this weird part of our brain that thinks it's helpful, but it's really not. Because if you think about it, what happens if your washing machine eats your lucky duck underwear, or God forbid you forget to pack your nail stuff. Right. Like then you get all completely freaked out, mm-hmm. right? Or your, you know, Zayna's collar, something happens, I can't put that collar on. Now I'm going to be in a complete and utter state, and that's going to negatively impact my performance, right? Because really it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with preparation,
right,
and training and, you know, our mental management. And it does not have to do, because believe me, if there were magical things that worked,
we'd be
dead. I guarantee you we would have them.
Yeah, for sure.
And it, or if I knew of one, I would, you know, I would market it and sell it and I would be rich. But there is no, you know, those superstitious things do not work. I do, however, have somewhat of a routine because I find that helps keep me focused and on track, right? It can't, I don't think your routine should be so strict that when one thing like gets thrown off track, everything goes to hell, because then you're just going to freak out.
Totally.
And then that's not beneficial at all. But
which actually happened this past weekend to a friend of ours at the regional qualifier in Syracuse. She actually, her car wouldn't start, Debbie. Her car wouldn't start. Yeah. Like, seriously, so that's a really good example, because if you're so like glued and reliant on that schedule or that routine, because stuff's going to happen all the time. And you don't want it to have to just derail you like that. And she stayed so calm and cool through the whole thing. She was just like, just move me to the end. I'm like, do you need any help?
Yeah, but that's how she is anyway.
And that's how she is. But that's a great example. Like, she got in her car to leave to come to the trial, and her freaking car wouldn't start. So great, great example of shit happening. The shit's
Then you just have to have a plan B, right? Which is, I'm going to get there. I'm just going to ask them to move me to the end. And then I'm going to start my routine, right? Like, so I tell people this all the time. So first of all, I never won or lost a trial based on where I parked my car, because that's where people start freaking out, right? Like, oh God, they need the perfect parking spot. Like, it has to be close enough, and, you know, here and this and that. And they just park your car. You're there. Yay, park your car, right? Doesn't matter where your car's parked. And then I do have a routine in terms of like how I, you know, when I'm packed.
Yep.
You know, like, so I like to bring all my stuff in first and unpack it. Again, I don't make myself insane about where I crate my dog.
Right.
Again, I've crated in every possible space and it's never impacted my performance. So it's just one more place where people wasting nervous energy, right? You're just wasting energy worrying about those things. So I bring all my stuff in, I set everything up. Then I get my dogs out of the car, I potty my dogs, I put them in their crate. And then I usually do my acclimation with each dog, make sure they're like good, their head's on straight. And then I go to check in and so on. Like, so I get all my equipment ready. So I have a routine. I try to do it the same way every time, because that is easier for my brain, right? I don't have to sit there and go, God, did I check my articles? Oh, wait, where's my Dumbo? Oh, did I do that? Oh, I didn't go check in. No, I just do everything in order. And then when I get interrupted, which inevitably I do, because that's just how it works, then it's no big deal because I deal with that. And then I just come back and I continue kind of my routine.
Right. Where you left off.
Where I left off, pick up where I left off, and kind of continue through the routine. And then that gives my brain the opportunity to focus on what it needs to focus on. And I'm not just running around like a chicken without a head.
Right.
You know, thinking and worrying about random things that either aren't important or that I can't have no control over.
Right. Which is going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff always happens.
Yeah. Yeah, my routine's pretty much the same. I try to just kind of do that. You know, it's kind of like logical order. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to bring my dogs in until I have all, you know, it's like setting up camp.
Mm-hmm.
You got to set all your stuff up, and then I get it all organized, and then, yeah, same thing. And then bring dogs in, get them acclimated, you know, and I do, you know, do start, I do make sure to, like, the night before, if we want to talk about that too, getting into that, you know, like, I make sure, like, my car is packed. I make sure, like, whatever I need to bring in a cooler is kind of ready to go. Like, I want to have minimal stuff to have to do in the morning so I can kind of take my time and not rush. So,
and you know where you're going because you
map out how long it's going to get, you know, take from the hotel. I give myself plenty of time. I like to drive to the trial site. I like to try to find a place to potty my dogs. I try to find a place where I can actually let them off leash and stretch out and go to the bathroom and just kind of let them go free a little bit before I get to the trial site. If I can. And then when I get there, you know, I know that they've hopefully done all their business. And then I start unpacking and all that stuff. That's what I try to do.
And I also think it's good to have notes. Like back when I first started, I would just write everything out, right? And then that would help keep me on track. And I would just have a list, like, you know, make sure you have this leash, yeah, that leash, you know, everything organized. Like nowadays, I don't have to write it down anymore. I have it. But again, I don't have to write it down because even at home when I'm packing, like even when I'm going away to a trial, like I just have this routine, right? Where I get the extra dog beds I need, or I get all the extra things I need because I'm traveling.
Yeah.
And I put, like you said, I pack that all up the night before because the day of, you don't want to be again, God, oh God, did I pack this? Did I pack that? Where's this? Where's that? Where am I going?
Yep.
I like to give myself plenty of time to get there. I'd rather be there on the earlier side than on the later side. That's how I am, right? Again, it's to manage that. Like, I don't want to be running late, if at all possible, and then going like, oh God, I'm late.
Right.
So I don't think it's advantageous to get there 4 hours before your run, which happens a lot with novice people, like people that aren't as experienced, right? They're like not sure when they get there super early.
Right.
And a lot of times their dog is not crated. And if the dog's not crated, they're just burning an astronomical amount of like just mental energy, just dealing, constantly processing the environment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I see that too. And I think a lot of that, you know, is the novice, it's hard with novice because a lot of times they don't have a start time. That's a big thing. So they don't, never done it before, they don't know what time to get there and they don't want to miss it. So they just err on the side of caution and get there early, it makes it hard. It does make it hard.
Well, I think it makes it hard on them. I think if the dog is crated and used to being crated, that would be a tremendous advantage for them, right? Because absolutely, then the dog's just like, all right, I'm just going to go to sleep.
Yeah,
that's what they do. They just go to sleep.
They do. You know? And the other thing, going back to crates, is, you know, I do cover my dogs up. I cover them up for a couple reasons because I, you know, people are kind of careless at dog trials sometimes, letting other dogs just go up to your dog's crate. So I don't want that. I try to avoid that, but it happens. So I cover my dogs up, but it also like, it just kind of, it's like going into a dark room, you know, like pulling the shades. I want my dogs to totally rest and relax and not have to worry about stuff. So I do cover them. I know you do that too.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Just cause I want them to save all of that mental, you know, energy, you know, for the ring and stuff. Cause it's taxing on them. All that stimulation.
It is taxing. And I know that they prefer it because if I leave the crate not covered, even for a short amount of time, and then I go and look in, they're in the back, like all the way against the back, curled in a ball.
Yeah.
They're not like up at the front, nose pressed against the screen, like, oh, I want to look around. They're like, dude, I'm out. Like, I'm just back here chilling out, like close my window.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, and dogs get used to crates. It's just like a den for them. And if they're used to that, then they can just chill out. And then, yes, if you don't know when to get there and you get there and you realize, oh, my goodness, I'm here like way many hours too early, the dog at least will be fresh when you take them out.
Right.
To warm them up. And then I also have, for my dogs, they have an acclimation routine, which is where they walk around on cue. It's still work. It's, you know, it's got rules, but they get to look around and enough so that they can go, okay, I feel good here. I feel comfortable here. I feel safe here. I can work now. But that's been taught, trained, and rehearsed ad nauseum, like throughout their life, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing I do every time I go to a new training building, every time I go to a show and go or a match. Every, like today, I went somewhere new for my dogs, and I didn't just walk, even though they're both experienced, I didn't walk them in and go work now. I walked in with them and we walked around and I let them look around until they looked at me and said, are we working? I'm like, yeah, we are. They're like, okay, good. I'm ready now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Again, that has to be trained and practiced. And then you want to do the same thing at a trial. And it's the same with my warm-up. My warm-up with my dog is the same exact warm-up, maybe not the same one from between the different dogs, but it's the same warm-up I do with that dog every time I train, whether it's in my yard, at a training building, at a store, wherever I am, it's the same. And then when I get to the trial, it's the same, because really it's a cue system.
Right. The same thing. Yep.
Because otherwise, for all the dog knows, how does it know you're not at Starbucks or you're not there, you know, to get your oil changed or something?
Right. Right.
They don't, you know, they need that cue system. And then what I see all the time is people start to freak out at a show and then they warm up like every, well, they warm up. They do every single exercise.
Yeah. That's like... And it might fall into the superstition category.
Yeah, good point. Maybe. Sure. Yeah, well, here's another thing that happens. The catastrophizing, right? So that you watch the first dog in the ring.
Ugh.
And the poor dog has a problem, right? Let's say, I don't know, gets a little distracted in the corner. What's in that corner? There must be something in the corner. I wonder if a dog peed in that corner. I wonder if there's a ghost in the corner. Look at the corner. The dark corner is dark. The corner's bad. The corner, the corner, the corner. Right? And so it begins.
And so it begins. And then like two people, three people are talking about it. Then it's like this crowd is talking about the corner. Right?
Then I'm like, I'm out.
Yep. Bye.
Right? And then what do people do is... I have to go warm my dog up in the corner. Or maybe your dog is super solid drop on recall and a dog doesn't drop. Oh God, is my dog going to not drop? Maybe yeah. I better go warm up the drop. And then you go take out your dog and you start making them crazy. And you're like, do a drop, do another drop, do this drop. And it's like,
ugh.
Your dog is fine. That's yeah. not what you normally do. And then your dog gets completely stressed out.
Right.
Because your dog is confused.
Your dog's confused, and then your dog has a bigger chance of making a mistake. Like, what are you going to do then? Minutes before you're close to going in the ring, and you're doing all this stuff, and your dog totally makes an error, or you know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. I go to the trial. And because we all get pulled in, oh, maybe I should go warm that up. Oh, maybe I should, oh, I don't know. That didn't feel that solid this week. Maybe I should go. And I'm like, no, no, no. Your dog is trained. You're here to test. It is what it is. You know what I mean? Because you're going to drive yourself crazy. And what are you going to do if you go to do it and your dog makes a mistake? Like, I see that all the time.
Oh. Well, and then people freak out. Then they get like...
And they get mad at their dog.
Mad at the dog because they're panicking, right? And maybe they're not even normally like that, but now they're panicking.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what to... Yeah, and then it just goes down a rabbit hole. So again, I think it's important to have... To write it down. Like, sorry.
Who's at your house?
I don't know. People walk by, even though it's pitch dark. So who knows? Maybe I'm getting a delivery. I don't know. But like when I went, I'm trying to remember. I think I just had one dog the one year I went to the NOC. And I had written everything down, like to the point of where I was like, okay, every exercise, this is how I'm going to warm it up. Yep. This is what I'm going to do if the dog has a problem with it. This is what I'm going to do if I look at the video after my run and it gets a little weak. So that everything was outlined so that there was no panicking. There was no like, oh God, you know, she looked a little nervous or she looked a little loose or whatever on this exercise. Then it was like, okay, I looked up that exercise and it says, this is what you're going to do. And I'm like, okay. And it was really good. So there was no moment when I had that panic of like, oh God, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? Or how am I going to, right, you know, make sure it doesn't fall apart and do something weird that will confuse the living daylights out of my dog. Which I've been there, done that, learned my lesson, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. What I do do now that I am getting hopefully better at practicing my mental management is what I do do is I, because when we, for me anyway, because I'm still, you know, I'm just really still trying to like get my head in the right space when I'm mm-hmm. actually at the trial. Like this is a big thing. Like this is probably my number one thing I'm working on right now in all of my stuff is that I need to be where I need to be at on trial day for my dog mentally. So what I am doing is like, even when I'm like watching the rings, like I go to ringside because I like to see like where they're going to set up, how, you know, where's the judge when you come in the ring? What am I doing with my dumbbell? All that stuff. I then watch a couple people go and then I sit there and I just map it all out in my head where I'm going to go and how I need to be acting for my dog. Like that's a big thing, like rehearsing that in my head on how I'm going to be feeling and, you know, knowing I'm going to go in there, knowing I'm going to be a little nervous and trying to remember what I need to be, how I need to be acting, how I need to be holding my posture so I can be who I need to be for my dog. Like that's a big thing that I'm really starting to try to do on trial day.
Yeah. And I think a coach once told me this was such good advice. She said, when you watch the ring, right, to see where everything is, it's just data.
Yeah.
Like exactly. Just think of it as just data. Don't get emotionally wrapped up in it. Don't start panicking. Don't worry about what that team, you know, did or didn't do well. Just gather the data, right? So I have a little note in my notebook, like be a detective. So I'm just going up. I'm just going to collect data. This is how I enter the ring. This is what I do with my leash. This is where I need to go and so on, right? Don't go down any rabbit holes. If you feel yourself panicking, just go back and say data, just collecting data. And I've always done the same thing. Like I make sure I know where everything is, how it's all going to run. Then I sit down, I run it through my head, right? Like this is, you know, how I'm going to enter the ring and I have to do it differently for each dog, how I'm going to handle them, et cetera. And that requires an enormous amount of work. Like my brain, for some reason, I don't know why, but this is just the way my brain is. Like on Saturday, my brain was like a stampede of wild Mustangs. It was just all over the frickin' place.
Same.
And it was so frustrating mm-hmm. because I knew it was doing that. And I was like, ugh, come back.
Yeah.
And so it takes like this constant mental battle for me, right? Because I am very self-aware. So I am aware when things are going off the rails.
Right.
And I'm like, holy Hannah, like, get it together. Like mm-hmm. I even said it out loud a few times to some people. I'm like, oh my God, like I can't get my brain together. Like that's what I'm doing with the bulk of my time there. And probably why I look so incredibly pissed off and intense all the time, because I am literally like, there should be, for all intents and purposes, smoke gushing out of my ears.
Yeah. Oh, that's how it feels. Like, the concentration level is insane. It is really hard. Just standing, first of all, just standing there. And the thing is too, is like, we're tuning out all the freaking outside stimulus going on. The people coming up to us to talk. You know, like, because you know if you stand ringside, someone all of a sudden, someone's standing next to you, you know? And it's distracting. It's hard, like, sitting outside on my like step at my house where nothing's going on at late at night. That's way easier to concentrate than standing there with all that freaking stuff going on, right? People walking dogs, dogs barking, blah, blah, blah. And then we're like trying to remember everything. We're trying to concentrate. We're trying to plan. It's incredibly hard. It's crazy.
But we need to do it because everything you just described, guess who else is going through that? Our dogs.
Our dogs.
Yeah. And we're asking our dogs to do the same thing, right? To bring, have that kind of focus. And then if we're not putting that much effort into it, right, then that's totally unfair. And that happens all the time. It makes me crazy. You know, like people, they're talking, they're chit-chat. Oh, it's my turn. Oh, let me run and get my dog. All this stuff. And then it's like, oh, the dog wasn't paying attention. Well, honey, you weren't paying attention either.
Right. It's true.
You know? So you really need, it requires a lot of concentration, but we owe it to our dogs. It's so funny. Like, he said it to you, right? My training partner was like, after one of Zayna's runs, because with Zayna, my God, if I am not on her like white on rice, boom, she's going to squirt off and God only knows what's going to happen, right? So my training partner said, yeah, well, he told you, right? He said, I told Lori, he's like, Zayna looked really good and Petra looked really, really mad. So I think it went really well.
Because sounds about right.
Yeah. Because like, that's how hard I have to concentrate. And I have to look at her and be like, cut that out. And then poor Zesty, like I'm concentrating so hard. And then I'm like, oh God, smile. Oh God, smile. Smile. Be happy. Because like, that's what he needs. But I'm like, you know, and one of the reasons I developed the whole, I never smiled with Zeal either, because I realized with a Tyler that I'm in the ring and I'm trying to smile and it must have looked like rigor mortis, like I was like a Halloween monster or something. You know how when you're really nervous and you're trying to smile and you're like, hey, I'm smiling.
Yeah. It's scary. It's scary looking.
And your dog's like, whoa. What the hell?
Yeah.
Are you doing? And then I'm like, okay, well, why do I even do that? Why don't I just not smile when I'm training, right? Like, look serious. And to Zayna, like, she is so happy when I look that way.
Because that's
I'm like,
what you
I
look
can
like.
Tell. I'm like, I'm sure I look furious and like, you know, like it's life or death. And she's like, yay! Because to her, that's just normal.
Right.
But then with poor Zesty, I have to like, you know, try and legit smile and what I'm like, oh, this is so hard.
Poor Zest.
But yeah, like for the dogs that are more sensitive, so Zayna's not at all sensitive. Then in addition to all that, you're concentrating and you have to also manage your face, right?
Yeah. Well, that's ever. She's just like, reading that all the time.
Yeah. Maybe in training, you should just sometimes look mad and then reward her.
Maybe I should. Because what happens is like you said, like I'm concentrating so hard. Concentrating so hard that like she's probably, that, you know, she looks up at me like, whoa.
But see, the thing is, that's kind of interesting. I concentrate that pretty much that hard when I train. Cause so I had an interesting, so yesterday I trained with my training partner. So he was also at the regional showing his dog, right? And then, so now I'm in his building and he's heeling his dog around and I'm like, do you have food on you? He's like, no. I'm like, huh. I go, well, then why is your dog healing like this here? Like he healed completely different at the trial, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, what's different? And, you know, of course, I don't know. Well, I'm like, yeah, but What you should be doing is, while you're here healing your dog, you should be thinking, be hyper focused on every little thing you're doing with your body.
Right. Right.
In training, so that you discipline yourself to have such attention to that, so that then you can mimic that exactly in the ring. Right. So that's why, and now more and more with Zest on purpose, I'm trying to smile less.
Right.
Because I'm like, dude, like, I can't be like grinning at you in the ring all the time. Like, well, and so if he understands that my serious face does not mean you're wrong,
right,
then he's going to be fine with it.
It's totally a thing, because that's what I catch myself doing. I'm like, oh my God, like, I probably look so different right now. Like, I need to, like, I'm consciously trying to remember, you need to be looking like you do in training.
Yes. So I think that people don't, you know, well, they don't have good transition train to trial. And
right.
I think we've talked about that. Like, they look completely different, right?
Right, right, right.
But that starts with training. Like, you have to develop that. So I was healing, right? So I was doing some healing with Zesty. And the reason that came to mind and I said that to him was because I had been concentrating so hard on my healing and my body. And I'm like, oh, why is his head bobbing on my left turn? What am I doing? And I'm like I'm all up in my head, microanalyzing like my body and my feet and everything. And I'm like, that's when it hit me. I looked at him, I go, are you doing that? He's like, no, I'm just healing him around. I'm like, well, you have to pay attention to that.
Right.
In your regular training. So I think that's a super important piece that I think when people train, they're just like, I'm training.
Well, there's no pressure. There's no pressure, right? That pressure is going to cause you to be totally different.
But it's also awareness. People are not aware.
They're not aware.
In the moment when they're training. So when I'm training, I am hyper focused on what I am doing, like every single second that I'm training my dog.
Right.
Like, I'm tired after I train, not just because of like, oh, I had to problem solve, but because in the moment when I am doing things with my dog, I am like, what is my head doing? What is my shoulder doing? What is my arm doing? What are my hips doing? Like, everything. And I'm doing that moment by moment by moment by moment. So I think people need to realize that, A, if you don't have that kind of focus in training, you're never going to have it in the ring.
Exactly.
Because it's just that much harder. If you practice that kind of focus, it'll make your focus in the ring better. But also, if you develop that ability to be aware of what you are doing and how you're communicating with your dog, because every nuance of what we do is information to them, then we can give them that same information in the ring.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's focus, people, focus.
Well, that's the thing. Well, I think for a lot of people, they're going to say, well, that goes all out the window because I'm so nervous. So then you have to practice. Like, part of your routine needs to be like in training. I tell my students this. I go, pretend you're at the trial. Mm-hmm. Like, pretend everybody's outside the ring watching you. Like, try to generate those feelings of nervousness. Like, the judge, the people watching, like, you know, all those things. Like, try to get yourself there so you can start really trying to practice and
volunteer to do demos, like at your local 4-H or at a school or something. Or even a lot of my students, when they first go train in like new locations or whatever, they're always like, oh, I was so nervous and self-conscious. I'm like, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect practice for you. Right? Put yourself out there, be nervous, make yourself nervous, put yourself in a situation where you're uncomfortable, and so you can practice that. But if you don't have those good habits established in training, they're just gonna go out the window when you go in the ring, regardless. Like, lot of times I can get away with things because even if I'm not like 100%, my body's just gonna autopilot do what it's been practicing for months and years.
Right.
So it's just, you know, the problem is when I autopilot the behavior, like my cues for the wrong dog. Like when I've done this with Zesty where I would go on autopilot and all of a sudden I'm like, oh God, I'm handling him like Zayna instead of Zesty.
Right.
Because Zayna is
default.
No thought. Like it is so ingrained in my body. There's no, you know, I mean,
you don't have to think about it
at all. I don't even talk to her. I barely talk to her in the ring. It's so choreographed. It's so ingrained for both of us. Right.
Right.
With Zesty, we don't have that yet.
Yeah.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, being aware, you know, and being disciplined when you're training and not being sloppy is just so important.
Right, right.
So important. And your Lucky Duck underwear. Can't, you know, I mean, let's be real.
Lucky Duck underwear and paint your nails, people.
And paint your nails. All right.
All right.
Happy training, everybody.
Happy training. Get a routine.
Get a routine. Focus. When I was a human physical therapist, I worked in the school system for a while. And this one teacher, it was like kindergarten or something. And she used to say, hocus pocus, focus. Let's all focus. And I swear to God, I'll tell myself that sometimes. I'll be like doing something, like training my dog or something, or at a trial, and I can tell, and I'm like, hocus pocus, focus. Let's all focus, get your act together. So hocus pocus, people, hocus pocus.
That's right. That's perfect.
All right. Bye.
Bye.